I laid down last night about 9:30. I was going to go to sleep early. It was going to be a beautiful thing. And I started thinking and about my message today. I got up and about midnight laid back down with a different message to share with you today. Because the beautiful thing about grace, we talked about a couple weeks ago, is that it empowers us to walk in the fullness of who God has called us to be. Without Him, there's nothing. We're utterly dependent upon Him. If we know it, don't know it, even if you deny Him, we're still utterly dependent upon Him. And the problem that we have when we talk about grace is that in our flesh and in our mentality and in a way that is expressed, we have a tendency of making this walk passive, where we say, you know what, it's a spectator sport. I get to sit back and God gets to do everything on my behalf. And it can't be any farther from the truth. There is a link that binds God's work and our work, and that link is faith. Grace undergirds everything, but faith is the link between God's work and our work in salvation. There's a passage in Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to pray and I'm going to just look at it. And it's something that you're all familiar with, but it's probably not underlined in very many of your Bibles. Father, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us strength. I thank you, God, for the miracle that is Dawn's life today. I thank you, God, that you are in the miracle business, that you are doing things unimaginable in lives all over the world. Father God, there are many, many that are hurting and desperate for you to move in a mighty way, and I pray, God, that you would be show yourself faithful to those that are hurting and seeking and wondering how they're even going to get through the next day. And God, I pray that on the other side of it, we would recognize, Lord, that there is a purpose behind our living, that the fact that we have breath in our lungs and rhythm in our heart declares a purpose for not tomorrow, but for today. And so help us to understand that and help us to be intentional about walking this thing out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only him who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And so obviously, obedience to the Father is of utmost priority to Jesus. And he even reveals here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that our obedience to Father has something to do with us getting into heaven. And so you say, well, no, like works don't play a part in our salvation, do they? Well, in some sense, they do. Not that you can work yourself into heaven, but when we say yes to Jesus, either something changes or we didn't really say yes to Jesus. Because when you do, and blind eyes are opened, and hearts of stone are changed into hearts of flesh, we know that there is no chance that we can earn it, but there is no chance that we can stay the same either. There has to be a change in our lives. And so Philippians 2, we were there a few weeks ago. It's the beautiful picture that shows the binding of our work and God's work. Paul is talking, and he's talking to believers. He's talking to people that have said, yes, I've put my trust in Christ, and I'm a true believer. He says this in verse 12. He says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, there's that again, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. Look what he says. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He says, you have to work out you actions in your life, your salvation with fear and trembling. And then here's the beautiful picture. How can this happen? How can I, in my finite mind and in my lack of understanding and in my weakness, how can I work out my salvation with fear and trembling? Verse 13 goes on to say, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. And so when I say yes to Him at that moment of salvation, we call it justification, where it's at that moment, because of the blood of Jesus, we stand before Father just as if we've never sinned. We say yes to Him, but the same yes, the same faith that we say yes to Him in that moment is the same faith that we walk in day after day after day as God is working this out in our lives. And some days we hit home runs, and other days we fall flat on our face. Being a parent has brought so much humility into my life, especially being a parent of kid number two. We're not going to mention any names, but kid number one, I thought, I'm the greatest parent that's ever lived. Like, I don't know what's wrong with all these people. And kid number two says, I can never leave my house with this kid ever. Because they're probably going to take her away from me if I do. And it happens on a day-by-day basis. I remember with Isabella, one day she did something, and I thought, man, I am. This is fantastic. Like, I am a great dad. And then she climbed out of her crib and landed on her wooden rocking horse and broke the wooden rocking horse. And then, like an hour later, she came in with a big thing of baked beans, dropped it on her foot. She's like 2 years old. I thought, dear God, they're going to take my kid away. Like, this is abuse and the things that are going on. And the same is true in our walk with God. There's certain days that we just get it right. It just flows. It's nice. It's a beautiful day. But then there's other days you're like, God, I want a do-over. I want to hit reset, and I want to start this day over because I have made a mess of it. Both of them require our faith in Him. And in the midst of the victories and in the midst of the failures, God says, I'm working this all out. I'm working out for your good. Just trust me. I got a plan. Because reality is, if you're anything like me, we learn way more in the mistakes than we do in the things that we get right. Like, all right, I'm never going to do that again, or I need to do it this way next time. And it's all leading to the place where one day we stand victorious for all eternity before our Father, and we say, yes, I get to be, and salvation is worked out to its fulfillment in that glorification. But the answer between the two, between us working and God working in this sanctification process, the answer between those two is faith in God and faith in His grace. It doesn't say, you know what, God, you bring your part to the table, and I'll bring my part to the table, and we'll just see how it works out. Faith says, God, anything that I bring to the table, I've brought because you've allowed me to bring it to the table. I wouldn't have anything to bring to the table, God, had you not given me something to bring to the table. And so faith says, God does all of it. Look at the scripture, Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Girls eat popcorn, Colossians chapter 3, that's how I remember it, verse 1. This is what Paul says. He's writing to this church, and he says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. And so Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, your life, when you say yes to Him, is in Christ, with Christ in God. And so keep that in mind when the attacks are coming, that and we're so quick to give Satan all of this credit for things that are going, and by no doubt is he trying to steal, kill, and destroy everything about you. There is no doubt about that. But know that your position when you say yes to Jesus is with Christ in God. And the only way that Satan has access to you is if God says, certainly, try him. He's alive and he's active, Satan, but he's very much on a leash. God is in control. The battle that is raging, I think oftentimes we try to equate it to like sports, right? And we have a team, and they have a team, and we root for our team, and we're just hoping that it works out on our behalf. The reality is that we're not down here on earth just fighting for God, hoping He wins. He's won. The Bible says that Jesus is a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. Even before God spoke this thing into existence, He had already won. And yes, Satan is alive and active, but Satan very much is on a leash. He says, this is who you are. You're with Christ. You're in God. He's your life. Now, based on him being your life, look what he says in verse 5. He says, Colossians 3, verse 5, therefore, put to death what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. These two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, saying that you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. He says, look, you don't act like the world anymore because you're with Christ in God. You don't talk like the world anymore because you're with Christ in God. He's now your life. And so put that stuff away and walk in the fullness of who you've called to be. And he shows you how it's happening. In verse 10, it says that it's being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. How does this happen? How do we put this self away? It's by Christ being our life and being in us and God working this out in each and every one of us. All of these things are possible because Christ is making them possible in our life. And we see this all throughout the scripture. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is by what? Faith in the Son of God. I live now by faith, not by sight. Do you see what is here? I am saved by faith. Yes. And nobody has a problem with that. We say yes to that. But the problem is when we make our salvation just a box that we check off, and then we just kind of go through this life living however we want to live, we put away the faith that it says in Galatians 2:20 that we live by. And so are we saved by faith? Yes. But do we leave our faith at the door and then just walk this thing out on our own? Absolutely not. We're saved by faith, and then we live by faith every step of the way. Faith is the means by which I identify with the crucified Christ, and it's the means by which I walk day by day by day. 2 Peter, go there, keep going to the right. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. He says, there's a nature of Christ. There's a corruption of the world, but there's a nature of Christ. And through faith in Him, you have the privilege of partaking in that divine nature. And then when you partake in that divine nature, you escape from the corruption of this world and the evil desires that come with it. And so he says, look, you've got everything you need in order to participate in the divine nature of Christ. And then look what he says in light of all of that. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. Work. It takes time. It takes discipline. It takes walking through the tough things of life. Listen, I was thinking about this last night when I got back up, that there is nobody that I know that is actively doing mighty things for God that haven't done three things. One, a relationship with the Word daily. Discipline, relationship with the Word. We live in a generation where we have more access to the Word than any generation ever before. However, we live in the laziest generation of students of the Word. We all want to be spoon-fed. Come on, preacher, feed me. I'm hungry. Yeah, I know you're hungry. You're starved to death because we don't have a relationship daily with the Word. And it doesn't have to be like half this thing, like even a verse. There's stories of prisons throughout the world where they were able to sneak in a page. And for years, 9, 10 years, sermon after sermon after sermon, from a page from this thing that they were able to sneak into a prison. Life changed in this Word. So daily discipline word, prayer. Nobody is doing mighty things in the Lord that doesn't have a relationship crying out. What do we cry out when the bottom falls out. Listen, nothing is happening to mighty men and women that aren't crying out before the bottom falls out. And even when the bottom falls out, they're still seeking Him. And then the third thing is they've been through fire. They've been through the fight. They've been through the struggle. And they made it out the other side. This I know. Nobody that's been through the fire complains about the fire after they're through it. You don't like it going through it. It's terrible. But when you've made it out the other side, the things that were forged in that, nobody says, I regret. They say, you know what? I didn't like it, but I see what God was doing. And they're thankful for who they are having gone through the fire. Right? I mean, think about it. If you want to do life with somebody in this thing, who do you want to be with? You want to be with somebody that's been through it and made it out the other side sane, right? Like, hear me. You're divorced and you make it outside or through the other side of that and you're still sane? You can help me with my problems. You've been through loss and destruction and you're still saying, God, I need you. I'm going to need your strength one day when I'm going through those things. And so all of those struggles and all of those fights and all of those nights crying are your license to minister. One of my favorite sayings outside of the scripture is that master captains are not forged in smooth water. Listen, if I'm going out to sea with Gilligan, I want to be with a captain that's been through the storm because I don't want to live on that island. I want somebody that's going to make it back. And if you've never been through a storm in your life and made it out the other side, you're due. And so I want to make sure that we're with someone that can. Bella said, Mom, we're preparing for the trip to Russia. And we watched that movie about Sully that landed the plane in the Hudson. Bella said, Mama, we just need to pray that Sully is your pilot. We're like, okay, baby, I'm with you. Because yes, like if I'm going, I want that guy, right? And if I'm going to walk through this life with someone, I want to be around people that have been through it. Not people that this thing has been easy. And the ones that say it's easy, they're just lying anyway. Because we've all been through the fire. And God says it takes faith in me in order to get through it. Not our work, but God's work. So when we say yes to Him, that's when the work starts. You see, I think, well, you know, I was self-sufficient before, and now I'm self-sufficient in my salvation. God says, no, you are God-dependent in order for you to even know that you needed to be saved. And you're God-dependent now as you're walking through this thing. God's work, our work, coming together in faith. God enabling our work. And in that faith, it involves two things. Number one, faith involves radical dependence on God's work. Radical dependence on God's work. We were dependent on God then. We've got to be dependent on God now. The same faith that saved us then is the same faith that sanctifies us now. That's the Christian life. All throughout Scripture, we see that. We need God to open our eyes, but we need God to get us through today. Hear me. I wouldn't in 100 lifetimes pretend to know what you've been through in your life. And I know for some of y'all, it's a miracle just to be standing today, right? God, faith in Him has got you through. We don't go on from being saved to doing it on our own. We go on from being saved to trusting in Him day after day after day by saying, God, I had nothing in my hands then, and I have nothing in my hands now. I needed you yesterday, and I need you today. We wake up in the morning, God, I've got nothing but what you give me. And when we do that, what it says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, is He calls us to, in our will, in our works, right, is what He said there. And so the first thing that He does with our will is He molds our hearts. And He's not just talking about like our superficial wishes. He's talking about the deep down desires in our lives. He begins to shape those and He begins to forge those into an attitude of faith where we say, God, I am desperate for you day by day by day. Faith says, God, I am surrounded by pleasures. I need you to change my appetite. Because if you don't change that deep down desire, I can fight it off for a while, but it's only a matter of time before I want to feast on it again. You say, God, I don't just want to serve people, but I need you to empower me. And to when it gets hard and when it gets messy and when I get fed up with people and I just want to become a hermit and go and close all the doors and turn off all the lights and close all the curtains, God, you let me see people the way that you see people. That when you look upon them, that you have compassion for them, no matter how ugly or vile or mean or what they've done or what it's cost me. I want to see people the way that you see people. And not just, God, I desire holiness, but God, I need you to make me whole, to change my desires. And so it requires a will, a change in our hearts. But then the second thing is it requires a change in our actions, molding our hearts, empowering us to walk those things out day by day by day. And faith says, God, I'm dependent on you to do what I can't do. And so faith involves radical dependence on God's work. Secondly, faith involves radical devotion to God's will. Radical devotion for God's will. And this is where the action comes in. Paul says to every true believer, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. He says, work diligently. Work hard. Work with discipline. All over the scripture, work it out, work it out, work it out. People cry, no, John, that's legalism, you working out your own salvation, you doing the work. I say, no, it's not legalism. It's just not being lazy Christians. Because that's what we've created. That's what has been forged in the church today. It's this playing out of the Christian life where it does involve us doing work. It does involve us getting out of the seat and living a life of discipline and going through the hard things in order to get to the place that God has called us to be. We work hard as followers of Christ, not by our own strength, but by the one who supplies strength. Look at this. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want you to see, this is so pretty, the picture that God gives us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, at the beginning of 1 Corinthians, Paul's giving this beautiful image of the gospel, and then he gets to verse 9, and look what he says. This is Paul. He says, I'm the, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. He says, I'm the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. The English Standard Version says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me is not in vain. I like what the NIV says. It says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. He says, I'm the least of the apostles because I've been persecuting the church, but because of the grace of God, something happened. Something changed in me. And then he says this. He says, but I worked harder than all of them. He says, I worked harder than all of them. And then he says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so we've got this, like, grace sandwich, right? Where Paul's killing people, he's persecuting the church, and the grace of God has an effect on his life. Changes his heart. And so then, what's he do? He gets to work. He doesn't just stay still. He gets to work. He says, I work harder than the rest of them. And then how does he close out his day? By saying, God, it's not me, though. It's you. It's your grace working in my life. And so we get up in the morning, and we look to God, and we say, God, I can't do this today. Your grace is all I have. I need you. I know some of you had that day last week. I know some of you are going to have that day next week. I can't do it. I just want to pull the covers back up over my head and hide from all of this. But by your grace, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it. I need your power. And then what Paul would do, he gets up, he says, not me, but you, God. He gets up and he works. You know what he does? He preaches, miracle here, miracle there, lives are being changed, things are happening, cool stuff happening. And he says, it's not me, though. It's the grace of God that's in me. And then he lays down his head at the end of the day, and he says, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So we wake up and we say, God, I can't do it. I need your grace. And we go to bed and we say, that was awesome. But it wasn't me. It was your grace. And in the middle, when we're working and we're fighting and we're striving to get through the day, we say, God, there's no way that I'm going to make it yet by your grace. And can I tell you, the greatest miracle that we have in this life is the opportunity to sow seed into the lives of believers, unbelievers. Trust God to see that thing grow and see blind eyes open to the need of a Savior. And you say, well, John, I don't know how. I don't know how to share the gospel. I don't know. I don't have a degree. I don't have, cheer up. I don't either. I don't have the knowledge. I don't have the ability to do this. If you don't know anything else about the gospel, let it drive you to love people. One of the most freeing truths in all the scripture is to owe no man nothing but to love him. And you know the position that I've taken in life is I can't fix people. And you know what? I don't look at people as projects either. Like, I don't do life with you because like I'm up here and you're down here and hang out with me and you're going to be greatly affected by it. I'm here to help you. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. Why I hang out with you? Because it's my honor to do life alongside you. And God has given me the privilege to abide with you. When I'm a mess, you hang out and persevere through. When you're a mess, I hang out and persevere through. We get through this thing together. And it's this beautiful thing that God has given us to abide alongside each other. And in the process, by faith in Him, you know what happens? Our lives change. We grow closer to God and we sharpen one another as iron sharpens iron. And it's the faith and the grace that God provides on moment by moment basis that allows us to get through. But it takes working hard in the midst of it. Nothing happens without hard work and discipline and persevering. And let me show you one more because I want you to see my favorite scripture. I was going to skip it, but it's my favorite scripture in all the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. To them that God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. So Paul is saying to the church, he's saying, look, there's a mystery. And God has hidden it for a long time. But now he's revealing it. Here's the mystery of the gospel. What is it? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now look what he says after that, though. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. And so by the grace of God, he comes and he dwells inside of us. And then what do? We go teaching and sharing and telling others about the goodness of Christ. He says, to this end, I labor. Another translation says, I strive. I struggle with this. It's hard work. And then look what he says. I struggle with what? All of his energy. It's him that gives me the strength to struggle through this. Not mine, not by my power or by my might. By the strength of the Spirit of God, I can get through. And then he says, which so powerfully works in me. Paul is working hard. He's working out his salvation. He's proclaiming the gospel. He's teaching. He's doing all of these things. But how is it happening? He's living out this Christian life. And he says the only way that it's possible is through his energy, through his strength, power of God, supplying me the ability to walk through this thing. Listen to this quote. This guy, his name is C.T. Studd. That is a name right there. He says this. Now, this guy, let me tell you a little bit about him. He went to China, and he went to India. At age 50, it was getting close for him to be time to retire. And instead of retiring, if your name is C.T. Studd, you don't retire, right? And so he says, instead of retiring, I'm going to go to Sudan. And at 50, he goes from China to India to Sudan. Teaching the gospel, sharing the gospel all over Sudan. People were accepting Christ as Savior. Something started that was called the Worldwide Evangelism Crusade, which made the gospel known in Asia, Africa, South America. C.T. Studd stays in Sudan until he's in his early 70s. And he dies in Sudan at his early 70s. And before he died, he wrote this. He said, too long we've been waiting for one another to begin. We do that, right? We wait. Just wait. All right, preacher, start something. Or when I find this, or when I do this. We just wait. He says, we've been He says, the time for waiting is over. It's past. And look at what he says. Should such men as we fear before the whole world, I before sleepy, lukewarm, faithless, namby-pamby Christian world, we will dare to trust our God. And we will do it with his joy unspeakable, singing aloud in our hearts. We will trust him, and his joy will be in our hearts. We will 1,000 times sooner die trusting only in God than live trusting in man. And when we come to this position, the battle is already won. In the end of this glorious campaign in sight, we will have the real holiness of God, not the sickly stuff of talk and dainty words and pretty thoughts. We will have a real holiness, one of daring faith and works for Jesus Christ. C.T. Studd would say that every single one of us that put our faith in God and not in man are guaranteed to live the rest of our lives fulfilling the will of God through them. And it includes a lot of things. And I say this, things that are way more important than this microphone and this stage. Because in just about 3 minutes, the real work's going to start. We're going to walk out that door. And you're going to go to the 7-Eleven, and you better be the nicest, most impactful person that that lady sees at the 7-Eleven all day, not because of how great you are, but because of the God that lives in you. And you're going to go to the restaurants, and you're going to eat some good food, and you're going to hang out, and you're going to tip the server really, really well. And you're not going to give her some track that looks like a fake $1 million bill and say, I gave her the most valuable thing in the world. No, you just ensure that she's never going to put her faith in Jesus because you're cheap. We're going to tip her immensely, even if she does bad service. You know why? Because my reward is not based on my service. And neither should theirs be. They're going to see something different in our lives, our laid down life. And the result is going to be lives changed for all eternity because our faith isn't in man, but our faith is in Jesus. And as that works itself out in our lives, the will of God is happening. And it's not always in the big explosive. Most of the time, it's in the mundane. You know, the definition of maturity, in my opinion, is not occasionally getting the big things right. It's consistently getting the little things right. That person that you can trust day after day after day to take care of the little things. That's maturity. Everybody can get something big right occasionally. The only problem is the will's going to be fulfilled in our life, but the only problem is tomorrow's not guaranteed. So let's don't put off for tomorrow what God wants to do with our lives today. Because this is what happens. We say, as young men or women, when I get out of school. And then we say, when I get out of college. And then we say, when I get married, when I have a helper that is suitable for me, then I'm going to do awesome things. And then we say, when the kids graduate and move out. And then we say, when I retire. And then we say, I'm too old. There's nothing for me to do. And we sit at the end of this short, brief life. Nothing worse than a man or woman of God that has so much purpose to wake up one day at the end of this thing and have missed everything that God had planned for them. And so we start today. It's the most preposterous thought, I think, in all the scripture. Exodus chapter 8. I'm sorry. I know I'm done. This is just extra. Plagues, right? You guys know the plagues. Second plague is the frogs. Moses, mighty man of God, he goes to Pharaoh. Let me say this. Same God that lives in Moses lives inside of you. Same God that lives inside of Paul lives inside of you. Same God that lives inside of Billy Graham lives inside of you. I'm not a super Christian. I'm a regular guy that's a hot mess. Just ask my wife and my mom. God lives in me, and the same God that lives in me lives inside of you. I'm an uneducated former drug addict that found Jesus and fell in love with him. That's all I am. Grew up in a split home, struggled, fought my whole life to try to get through this thing. I decided to try Jesus at 22 years old. And you know what? It worked. And if they'll try him too, it works. But the problem is, we say tomorrow. Today I'm going to do this. Tomorrow. It's preposterous. This is how preposterous it is. Frogs everywhere. I mean, frogs just coming out their ear. And Moses goes to Pharaoh and he says, I can take care of these frogs. You know what Pharaoh says? It's Exodus chapter 8, verse 10. He said, everything that you're saying you can do, do it. But do it tomorrow. Could you imagine being an Egyptian or an Israelite at this time, and there's these frogs everywhere, and your leader says, nah, let them deal with it 24 more hours. How irate would you be? How preposterous of an idea is that? I would say to God, it's as preposterous as you having rhythm in your heart and breath in your lungs today, and yet saying, God is saying, what? Today, you've got a plan. You've got a purpose today. Bob Goff says, loving your neighbor doesn't take a theology degree. It just takes walking out your front door. God's got a purpose and a plan for your life. It doesn't have to wait till tomorrow. Start right now. When you walk out that door, you go. Find somebody to love. Find somebody to encourage. Find somebody to be kind to. Find something that you can get passionate about and run with. And if you fail, get up. Run in a different direction. I promise. If you do that, you're not going to wake up at the end of this thing saying, what I miss. You're going to wake up at the end of this thing and you're going to say, what a ride. I can't wait for the next million times a million times a million with my Father. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. I thank you, God, that it's not a day that's going to be wasted because your grace has effect on our lives. And we're going to walk out that door and we're going to show a lost and dying world something different. We're going to love them and we're going to come alongside them. And we're not just going to pray for those that are hungry, but we're going to supply food for those that are hungry. We're not just going to pray for those that are hurting, but we're going to come alongside those that are hurting and we're going to do life with them. And it might even mean that we ought to bring them into our house and it be messy and we find out about all their problems and they find out about all of our problems. But God, we're just going to see them the way that you see them and we're going to love on them. And we're going to do it the best we can, as long as we can. And the only reason we can do it is because of your grace. And when it's all said and done, we're going to say it's because of your grace. And in the midst of our working, we're going to give you the glory and say it's because of your grace. So Lord, I pray that there be something different about the way that we live, that it not start tomorrow, but it start today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love you guys. So honored to serve alongside you. Come join us Wednesday night as we pray and we worship God together. I will see you then.